cricket, lovely cricket. Welcome along to 98 and out. Back on the radio. This is show number 3 since our break. Phoenix FM's weekly cricket show, your fix of all the news, chat, bit of news and some star guests. On tonight's show, we will be celebrating International James Bond Day with Henry Blofeld. Annie Chave from County Cricket Matters is with us. There's music from Neil Young, Armand Van Helden and Taylor Swift. Remember, you can listen to Phoenix 98 on the FM dial if you're in the Essex area via the internet, phoenixfm.com, and you can shout at your smart speaker to play Phoenix FM. Plenty of ways to listen. And of course, you can engage via social media. We're across Facebook, Twitter and Instagram. And while I'm at it, don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. Wherever you get your podcasts, just search for 98 Not Out. And if that's not enough, there's a YouTube channel as well. So before we start, I better do the weather.
Weather on Phoenix FM, proudly sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company for windows, doors, conservatories and extensions.
Well, as I came in tonight, it's a bit autumnal out there. There's a few gusts of wind. It's a bit cloudy as well. However, I am reliably informed occasional clear spells will develop overnight, particularly towards dawn. Lucky old dawn. It'll be generally dry, although isolated showers or spots of rain are still possible. Into tomorrow, we'll see early cloud and any lingering showers clear away to leave a dry day with increasing amounts of sunshine. There'll be a few areas of cloud developing later in the day. It will be breezy still, but it'll be warmer. Lows tonight are 13 degrees centigrade. Highs tomorrow of 22. And from what I can see, it looks even better into the weekend.
Weather on Phoenix FM, sponsored by SEHBAC, the award-winning home improvement company, proudly serving Essex for over 50 years. Contact us on 0800 666 444 or visit sehbac.com for help with your home.
Well, welcome along. I hope you've had a good week. Plenty going on. Let's start with the headline news of the day. That's the Cricket World Cup is underway in the Ahmedabad Stadium, which possibly holds 134,000 spectators. There were probably a lot less than that today. A bit disappointing to see such a sparse attendance for the opening day of a World Cup. It definitely wasn't like that on the opening day in 2019 when England opened that event against South Africa. But England were there again today as reigning champions. It was not a good day for England. They were thrashed by New Zealand by 9 wickets. Devon Conway scored the first 100 of the 2023 World Cup on his way to 152 not out. He was quickly followed by Ravindra, the emerging star already of this tournament, who scored 123 not out. I think he got player of the match at the end. The pair shared a partnership of 273 as England bowlers toiled in trying to defend 282. I reckon they're at least 50 runs short on the batting front. Tomorrow, it's Pakistan against the Netherlands. England next play on Tuesday against Bangladesh. Come on, England, sort it out. It's cricket birthdays of the week. An interesting list, as always. The following are celebrating their birthdays this week. We'll start off with Chris Green, recently of Brentwood Cricket Club, turned 30 this week. Shamar Brooks, the West Indies player, 35. Also from the West Indies, Nicholas Pooran, 28. Tom Moody, 58. England coach Matthew Mott, 50. Raise your bat. Rishabh Pant, 26. Spring chicken. Former Australian international Adam Vosges, 44. Chris Jordan, 35. Shadab Khan from Pakistan, 25. Aidan Markram, 29. Today, Imran Khan, Pakistan legend, both of cricket and politics, 71. Morley Morkel, 39. Anthony McGrath, 48. Zahir Khan, 45. Dwayne Bravo, 40. Salman Butt, 39. Graham Yallop, 71. Happy birthday to everyone there celebrating this week. And I should also mention it's been a big week at Phoenix FM Towers with birthdays for Nigel Morris. Excellent show on a Sunday night. Stepping out 6 to 8 on a Sunday on Phoenix. Victor Marr, it was his birthday as well. Catch him on a Monday. Stepping out 8 to 10. Brilliant show, that one. The show's commercial manager, Mr. Steve Roach, is also celebrating, so everyone there, happy birthday indeed. Right, so today, you may or may not know, is International James Bond Day. Now, why is today International James Bond Day? I must admit, it's a new one on me. But every year, the 5th of October is observed as International James Bond Day. Why October the 5th, you ask? Well, October the 5th was the date of the world premiere of the very first Bond film, Dr. No, way back in 1962. Way before even I was born. So every year on the 5th of October, it's celebrated. And to help us celebrate, who better than Henry Blofeld?
Younger viewers may look at the name and go, hang on, Blofeld, is he a Bond villain? But there is a connection, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. I mean, I'm a frightful villain, I can tell you that. Actually, the biggest villain of all was my father, who was a friend of Ian Fleming's. And when he wanted an evil name, he looked no further. And if you go to the movies, he's the one you see with a white pussycat on his knee. And I don't think any of the Blofelds have ever owned a white pussycat, but there we are. And it's always, I knew Ian a bit. I remember going and lunching at his house in Jamaica at Goldeneye, where I met Noel Coward, who was also there. And Ian was a slightly difficult man. I think he could be absolutely charming. He could be incredibly remote, and you know, and but I think that was his character. But Bond is. Blofeld and Bond is great. I remember once meeting Miss Moneypenny, Lois Maxwell, in a taxi queue in a wet day at Waterloo Station, and we shared a taxi back to Chelsea. We lived very adjacent to each other, and I remember I remember saying to her, "Yes, you might almost say, Lois, you and I have a common bond." It's the only good pun I've ever made. Lovely to talk to you, my dear old thing. Well done.
The one and only Blowers. If you want the full version of that chat, head to the podcast or head to the YouTube channel, and it's there. And in case you're wondering, this version of the James Bond theme was recorded back in 1962 in Jamaica by the Scatterlights, legendary ska band. I know there's a lot of ska fans out there. You probably won't need me to tell you all that. So remember, today is International James Bond Day, October the 5th, every year. So I suggest that after you finish listening to this tonight, put on a James Bond film. They're easy to find, all of them. And also let me know on the social media and via the email. You can email me, radio@phoenixfm.com, title your mail, 98 not out. What is your favourite Bond film? Who is your favourite actor for James Bond? And if you're feeling really brave, who do you think should be the next one? Right, so a little bit of travel. The usual stuff locally. Western Road in Billericay is shut in the middle. You can get to it from the High Street and from London Road, but you get halfway and it's just completely closed. Don't bother. Take the diversions along Mount Nessing Road or via the High Street. And in Brentwood's Wilson's Corner is its usual chaos, but the roadworks outside Brentwood's Cricket Club have been removed, so that's pretty free-flowing. Just a bit further afield on the M11 London-bound, there's slow-moving traffic between Junction 7 for Harlow and Junction 6 for the M25. Now, the delays are not being helped by an earlier accident on the M25 anti-clockwise. I'm being told all lanes have now been reopened on the M25, but obviously, as in all these cases, it's a bit slow moving. Elsewhere, it looks okay. I'm just checking around. I don't think it's too bad. Usual rush hour stuff. And that's your traffic. There you go. Right, last night over at the glamorous Braxton Hall, I couldn't get there. I wanted to, but I couldn't make it. But anyway, it was the Essex End of Season Awards dinner. And I've got a list of all the award winners. So well done to all of the following. Player of the Year, Matt Critchley. The Women's Player of the Year, Grace Poole. Players Player, Matt Critchley again. White Ball Player of the Year, Daniel Sams. He was instrumental in Essex reaching the T20 final. He was the Blast's Most Valuable Player. Performance of the Year, Matt Critchley again for his 5-for-28 in the Blast against Middlesex. Batter of the Year, Tom Wesley. He was second highest in Division 1 with 1,130 runs. Bowler of the Year, Jamie Porter. Brilliant to see him back in form. He had a sort of a, by his standards, a lean year or two, but he's back. Took 57 wickets in Division 1. That's a fantastic achievement, Jamie. That include 4 5-fers and a 10-for against Hampshire at the Adjurs Bowl. Second 11 Player of the Year was Charlie Allison. Academy Player of the Year, Noah Thane. And the Young Player of the Year, Robin Dass. I suggest you make notes of those two names, Robin Dass and Noah Thane. They will definitely, definitely be huge stars of the future.
Go to phoenixfm.com and listen to online guest interviews. Check the events for your area and listen to great radio online.
Right, I think we'll get our first guest of the night up. She's been on before. In fact, she was one of the very last guests when we were on the radio before we took our break. Always a good quality. We had Don Topley espousing the 100 last week. Thanks for all of your feedback on that. Some quite interesting responses. But here to talk all about county cricket, it's Annie Chave. Today I am talking with the queen of county cricket, Annie Chave joins me. Annie's from County Cricket Matters. You must subscribe to that excellent publication. Follow it on social media. But it's a pleasure to have Annie along. Annie, how are you?
I'm doing all right, thank you. It's a double-edged sword when the season ends because I miss it so much, but I'm also exhausted by the end. So I'm kind of just coming down from it, really. So
It is a bit like that, isn't it? It sneaks up on you, and then it's like a whirlwind few months, and then all of a sudden it stops, and it's kind of a bit of, you know, what happened there. But
World Cup starting though, so I'll have that to focus on.
6 weeks of the World Cup.
I know.
So yes, there's a lot. I'm still trying to juggle cricket, rugby, football, Formula One. It is just a complete avalanche of sport at the moment, but cricket, of course, takes precedence.
Yeah.
So first of all, I've got to congratulate you on a bit of success at Somerset this year.
Yeah, a bit of silverware. They really, really deserve to win the T20 Blast because they right from the off they were full at it and but always like Somerset, I thought they would end up bridesmaids and not quite make it to the end, but they did, and I'm really, really pleased for them. They so deserved it. Their campaign was really strong.
It was a good finals day. Four very good teams there.
Yeah,
all from the south.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what that says, really, but but hey, Leicestershire won the One Day Cup, so it's not all south.
It seems one thing that struck me about this season's winners, of course, congratulations to Surrey for grabbing the county championship, but they were nearly pipped at the post by Essex. If Essex had done it, you'd have had Essex, Somerset, Leicestershire,
yep,
the unfashionable counties that kind of get pushed to one side whenever the ECB is talking about the future of the game. It just does prove that county cricket is alive and kicking right across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so it's things like Worcestershire coming up, Durham coming up. It really, really great. Great Worcestershire's come up because they're another small county. Great Leicestershire won the One Day Cup, another small or in danger county, as they say. You know, it's that's the absolute beauty of county cricket is you can never quite tell. And there's so many ups and downs. And I mean, Surrey were in the second division not long ago, you know, so it does happen. And looking at, I was having a look at the guys that have got the best, most runs this season. There isn't a Surrey guy in there. So it's been spread around quite a bit.
That's right. And one thing that struck me this year, it probably should have struck me earlier, but it just seemed to hammer home this year. The world of cricket is fairly divided at the moment for all the obvious reasons, and I'm not going to talk about the obvious elephant in the room. But what it did highlight to me is that each format has a definite following, shall we say. So, and it seems to me that the organisers are trying to sort of frame it that way so that in the 100, and the only mention I'll give to it, you have fans that are sat there in replica kit, floppy hats, blowing whistles and dancing to the music that is beyond a bit beyond me, even at my tender age. The T20 has a very much Friday night audience. I have used the term stag night before because it does seem to me that it's gone too much in the way of drinking, but I know lots of counties are going making great strides in providing family stands and just trying to get away from that image. And what really struck me about county cricket this year is, yes, there's the stereotypical following of people of a certain age in floppy hats and replica jumpers from about 30 years ago. But what the county game has more that none of the others have at all, and even test matches, what the county game has is a sense of community. And what I've seen on social media since the season ended is a lot of people sort of reaching out to each other and saying, don't be melancholy because the season's finished. And when you go to a county game, you tend to sit there and it's like hooking up with friends, and it's this whole sense of community, yeah. Which to me the other games don't have.
No, I think that this was really, really obvious in the COVID times. I had a lot of people contacting me, very, very miserable and really missing it. And I think it really highlighted that it wasn't just the game, because, you know, by the end of the season, you could watch a bit on the wonderful live streams and things. But it's actually meeting up with people. Absolutely. It's a huge, huge part of county cricket. And I don't think that should be ever undermined. And the other thing, I mean, you talk about community. The other thing that's really, really important in county cricket is the fabulous things that the counties do throughout the communities in the areas. They do so much hidden work. I mean, with disabled community, with, you know, all kinds of bits and pieces of the society. And that is so essential to so many areas. Plus, Andy Brassington at Gloucestershire has been starting doing these walkers and talkers events, which came about because of COVID, where people were feeling really lost without seeing their friends at county cricket. And he'd do these talks and these walks around. And these are coming across to lots of counties now, where during the winter there'll be talks and with ex-players and whatever, and a coffee and walking around the grounds. And it's a really lovely sense of, and that actually adds to this sense of community.
What do you think that's so overlooked by the authorities?
Because it doesn't make money, Darren. It doesn't make money. It costs money. So you're not going to plug it, market it too much. I mean, they do, but it's hidden. It's hidden, and it's really not. It's not something that is top of priority, because you don't. You know, you're doing stuff in the community that isn't necessarily going to make the county lots of money.
One of the criticism, the right word, labels maybe thrown at the county game is that it's very much for people of a certain age, retirees, the Silver Brigade, etc., etc. Rightly or wrongly, do you think more should be done to attract the youngsters into it? I refuse to believe youngsters aren't interested.
No, they're not. They are interested, and not enough is done. But that is starting to change a little bit. Of course it is the Silverhead, like yourself, Darren, as I can see your Silverhead. So of course it is the Silverhead people that go, because it's usually on weekdays, and most people are working or at school or whatever. So, you know, it's a ridiculous thing that people keep saying this, and it really makes me mad, because of course that is the case. But there's also counties are doing things like school days. There's lots of days where a huge groups of school kids come, and they always have a lovely, lovely time. There's so much cheering and loud things going on, and I think it's a really, really good initiative. And the more they do that, the more it will be talked about, and the more it will be, oh yeah, I went there, that was fun, you know, because it can be fun. I think counties should do more to, engage with the youth when they get there. I think there should be a bit of fun. Yeah, I think definitely counties should be getting people on the pitch at lunch and tea time, because that's huge, and it always was in our childhood. So, you know, all those things. But there are many things that can be done and are starting to be done. I really, really honestly think that things are moving, but it's not, you know, it's not going to be fast, and it's also not going to be top priority again, because it's not necessarily, you know, they're getting kids in for free. I mean, I think that's fantastic myself, but there's no reason not to. But it's, again, it's not making the money, is it?
Yeah, but I think that grows interest in the game, particularly when you see the uptake at club level with things like All Stars, which, you know, I'm involved with club cricket around here. Mm-hmm. The All Stars programs at all of the clubs in my area are massively oversubscribed.
They're huge, yeah. It's a really, really big thing, and partly because it's a good thing for the parents, and they enjoy the social interaction in the evenings as well. So I think there's a bit of both. You know, I think that's a good idea to try and get it interest for kids and adults. I think that's massive. But one of the things about the 100, and I'll just quickly go on to that, you know, it is bringing a new audience, but my fear is it's bringing a new audience to the 100 and not to the wider game. I had a friend of mine who said, I took my kids to the 100. All they wanted to do was play on the PlayStation. So, you know, and that's, you know, what are you actually bringing them to, therefore? Because apparently there's PlayStations there or something that they can go on. And you're thinking, is this actually cricket you're getting them into, or is it actually something entirely different?
That's a fair point, because I've been to a few 100 games
and I went, my wife's birthday fell on the day of 100 games. She said, can we go to 100 games? I said, yeah, okay, fine. All four of us went, teenage kids and wife. And it was more of a, sort of like an entertainment. It was almost like a night of going to, use an unfortunate comparison, going to the circus, going to the theatre. You know, that it was an entertainment night out. It wasn't, as you say, necessarily, the cricket wasn't necessarily the focus of it. There's a lot of distraction around there to just try and loop people in.
And that's not a bad thing. I'm not saying that that is a bad thing. I'm just saying it's not, it is a bad thing if it then disrupts and directly competes with the product we already have, which it seems to be doing at the moment. And I think there's got to be a lot of work on trying to get around that and try and working out how it can be more conducive and spread into the game. Because I honestly don't know. There's no evidence or anything at the moment out there that tells us, oh, this has resulted in loads of people going to cricket matches, because it doesn't, you know, there's still not loads of people going to county cricket, because it's still in the times where out of school holidays and when people can't go. So,
well, that was the big issue this year, was the jigging of the calendar to put everything to one side. I mean, you know, everything, you know, T20 tests all over by the end of July. No traditional cricket in August at all. And awful. Then the County Championship only resumed once everyone was back at school. There was a huge opportunity missed there.
Yeah, absolutely. It's already, and, you know, let's face it, I know TV isn't quite the same as it was, but it's, you know, normal cricket is not on free to air television, and that is massive. That's huge. People don't see it, and if they only see the 100, that is what they think it is.
Yeah, and I don't see why, because I've had this discussion many times with a lot of different people with different viewpoints, but and it's always like, oh, they haven't got the, you know, they ITV or BBC wouldn't give up a whole day. Well, they don't have to. There's so many channels now. Yep. You've got four BBC channels, four ITV channels. God knows how many Channel 4, but there is room.
There's room, and there's ways around it, and, you know, but it's all about money, and it's all about merchandise, and cricket to me is going in a direction I find really quite disturbing and fairly tasteless. But having said that, you know, something had to happen to the women's game. I'm not saying this is the best thing that's happened to women's game, because I think it could have been done through county cricket. It should have been done through county cricket. But it has, you know, it has put it on the stage. Partly the 100 has put it on the stage, but also national cricket, how brilliant Australia have been, how brilliant our England team have been, and how brilliant they've been at football. And, you know, it was going that way anyway, but it needed a shove.
We always talk about the county championship being tweaked and adjusted. Have you got any thoughts on anything that's screamingly wrong with the format and the sort of the you know, having two leagues and promotion and relegation?
I mean, personally, I like the two divisions. I know people that don't, but I mean, it's like the football division. I think it works really well, because people want to, you know, there's a fight for the top and there's a fight for the bottom in the first division anyway. So it keeps more people in the game, I would say, than a one division, or I suppose there could be regional divisions, but I think that's a shame. I know people would quite like to split it into three because there's fewer games, but those are the people at the top, or the broadcasters, not the fans, who, you know, as far as I'm concerned, there aren't enough games. And I absolutely hate the fact that everybody doesn't play each other twice.
That's right. Yeah, I was going to say that was my main gripe. Yeah.
So I think there could be a bit of rejigging there, but, you know, we'll have to see what happens. There's lots of decisions being made this month.
I think it's going to be an interesting winter on the county scene, without going into specific details, but I think there will be a lot of Canterbury will hit the news, I think, more than for reasons maybe that he doesn't necessarily want to this winter. But anyway, we'll stick on the positive. Last time I saw you in person, we were enjoying a very fine day at Lord's.
We were, yes.
A very sunny Saturday. It was heaving. I've never seen Lord's as busy as it was on that Saturday of the Ashes Test. Just shows you that, you know, whenever people say cricket's boring, whatever else, when it's dished up with all the bells and whistles, people do come, regardless of the eye-watering ticket prices. I mean, and to me, there's nothing better than a day at the Test match at Lord's. It was fantastic.
Yeah. We were there the day before the fisticuffs, weren't we?
I was there that day as well.
Oh, really?
I've never... Yeah. It was just me and you arm wrestling on the Saturday.
Yeah.
It was a frustrating, because I couldn't get a seat anywhere in the pavilion, no matter how hard I tried. And I think it ended up with you and I sat indoors watching it on the TV.
Yeah, there was a stage of that, because we were standing up and getting a bit tired, weren't we?
That's right, yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Well, this is why I love county cricket more. I love being able to wander around and move around your seats and not be shoved into little areas and gets, you know, not be able to get to places because there's such big queues. So I prefer it.
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, and you are right. With county cricket, there's a bit more of the sort of, you can come and go. You don't necessarily have to be there first thing in the morning. You can turn up when you're ready. Now, you personally have hit ever new heights this year. You've been broadcasting, you've been podcasting, you've been...
Yeah.
Everywhere you've put me to, I feel, am I even fit to lace your boots, Annie?
Well,
Che?
No, not really. No, I am now a BBC commentator. So.
Listen, I know other BBC commentators.
Do you lace their boots?
No, I lace their drinks. Yeah,
I've had a good, you know, it's been a good year. Having been made redundant from my main job in March, I suddenly found myself being asked by the BBC to do some stuff for Somerset, and that was lovely. So I really, really enjoyed that. Magazine's going well, and I'm just about to start on a book. So all those things are. So that's all been really, really exciting. But obviously, it's the winter now, and things quieten down a little bit.
I did listen to some of your commentaries for the Somerset games, and you did sound, I'm sure you weren't, but you did sound completely without nerves, very natural, and sounded like you'd known Vic Marks for donkey's years.
Well, Vic and I are good mates, actually. He's I'm going up with him tomorrow to the Somerset Awards, so I am, he's a good mate. He lives in the same place as I do. Well, not the same house, obviously, but the same town.
Yeah.
And, we meet for coffees and stuff. So, yeah, he's a good mate of mine. I think he's wonderful. Always makes me laugh and entertaining, always.
Yeah, I'm old enough to remember his playing days in that tremendous Somerset side of the late 70s and into the 80s. And he even pulled on an England shirt a couple of times as well, didn't he? and I've just thought, he's not been on 98 at all. So when you see him, tell him I'd love to have him on, and we can relive old times and current.
I'm sure he'd be happy to do that. He's a pretty good guy. He likes to help out.
Good. So the World Cup's coming up. What are your plans for the winter? Are you just going to sort of take stock and...
I'm going to start this book.
Yeah,
I've got an awful lot of research and interviewing to do. So I'm going to hopefully hide myself into my little office and try and keep warm by the fire and write as much as I can.
Well, what is the book? Can you tell us what it's about or the title?
I'm not going to say anything much about it, except that it's a very positive book about cricket. I wanted to write a positive book about cricket because I think there's so much negativity about the sport at the moment. So once I get more of an idea about where it's heading, I'll let you know more.
Brilliant. Right, before we go, give us a plug for the magazine. Tell people where to get it and whatever.
Okay, so County Cricket Matters is now in its 16th edition. This edition has an interview I did with Stephen Fry, which was really, really lovely, and some fantastic articles by really, really good writers, including Duncan Hamilton in this one. And you can get hold of it on my website, which is countycricketmatters.com. It's £15 subscription for the year, including postage, and you get four magazines in that.
Absolute bargain.
It is.
Well, Stephen Fry, God, I really am not fit to lace your boots. And it always an absolute pleasure to speak to you and to see you. All the best for the winter. Very, very good luck
Thank
with the
you.
book. I'm sure it'll be
Thank you.
fantastic. We will catch up very, very soon. And everybody, subscribe to County Cricket Matters. It's brilliant.
Cheers.
My thanks to Annie. A really good interview that. Countycricketmatters.com is where you get your subscription to her excellent publication. And as always, we ask guests to choose a track. So this is Annie's choice, Neil Young and Heart of Gold.
John Sharp, inviting you to join me here on Phoenix FM on Saturday afternoons for Phoenix Sport. The top local, national and international sports stories, plus live scores, results, reports, interviews, quiz questions and my sporting anniversaries. And lots of great music too. That's Phoenix Sport, every Saturday from 3 till 6 p.m. here on Phoenix 98 FM.
Cricket. lovely cricket. If you like your cricket, then don't miss 98 Not Out every Thursday between 6 and 7 right here on Phoenix FM with me, Darren Mutu. I'll be bringing you all the latest news locally, nationally and internationally from around the world of cricket. There'll be some guests, a bit of chat and some music too, so don't miss it every Thursday, 6 till 7 on Phoenix FM.
Every Wednesday on Phoenix 98 FM at 7 p.m, it's the Orient Hour, bringing you the news, views and special guest interviews from the Brea Group Stadium, Brisbane Road. Join us every Wednesday at 7 p.m. on Phoenix 98 FM for the Orient Hour.
Community radio for Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM.
Don't miss all those excellent sports shows right here on Phoenix FM. In fact, John Chubb, you don't have to wait till Saturday because he is coming up after me at 7 o'clock with the excellent non-league show. And then, of course, Andy Gilson on Wednesday, 6 till 7. Or sorry, 7 till 8, Andy, on a Wednesday night with the Orient Hour. It was missed last night because of the tragic events that happened at the Orient game on Tuesday night, but he'll be back next Wednesday. And Andy, if you're listening, we've run low on biscuits, so you know your job is to furnish this studio with biscuits. So bring nice ones as well, please, not the cheapo rubbish you sometimes come up with. Proper biscuits, please. And on the subject of sport, I better give some updates. It's half-time in the Europa League tonight, and I know there's a lot of you football fans as well. I'll just give you the games that have British or English involvement. SC Freiburg are hosting West Ham United at half-time. West Ham are leading 1-0. Down in Marseille at the Stade Velodrome. Excellent stadium. I've been down there. What a fantastic place it is. Marseille are hosting Brighton and Hove Albion. At half-time, Marseille are leading 2-0. And over in Greece, Aris Limassol in Group C of the Europa League. Aris Limassol are 1-0 up against Rangers. And later on this evening at 8 o'clock, Liverpool are hosting Union Saint-Gilloise. So lots of football going on, lots of sport going on. Keep it locked at Phoenix. Don't go anywhere. John will give you the updates when he's here at 7 o'clock. Okay, before the break you heard Neil Young, Heart of Gold. That was requested by Annie Chave, who was an excellent guest there, telling us about county cricket and how she sees it and how the season has gone, what she's looking forward to. Available on the podcast if you want to listen back to that. In fact, if you want to listen back to the show, just head to phoenixfm.com, look under programs, look under 98 Not Out. You can download this show. It'll be available to download probably in about an hour's time, once I've managed to get myself home and fight my way through the Brentwood weather and traffic. Although the weather's all right out there, but it is busy here at the Brentwood Centre. If any of you didn't know, we are the Phoenix Tower Studios are in the Brentwood Centre, which is very busy at the moment. The English Open snooker is going on here, and just as I was walking in, there was a long line of people queuing up to go in. I went to that last year. It's very, very good. Four tables, all with loads of action, so plenty to see. And top players, including Ronnie O'Sullivan, are taking part in this tournament.
Across Brentwood and Billericay, this is Phoenix FM.
Okay, let's have a bit of news from around the cricketing world. Now, this time last week, Surrey were crowned county championship winners for 2023. It was a great performance and a great ending to the season, with Essex chasing hard, but ultimately not quite getting there, and Surrey winning at the post in a photo finish. Now, straight after the news was confirmed about Surrey, Alex Stewart, who's their head coach, was quite scathing about the ECB and the scheduling of cricket. And he gave an interview with ESPN Crick Info, which I'll read out because it's very, very interesting. And coming from someone with Alex standing, people should be listening. He's accused the ECB of disrespecting the county championship on the day that Surrey secured the 2023 title. Stewart, who has been Surrey's director of cricket since 2014, criticised the decision to schedule a one-day international series against Ireland that affected availability for the final two rounds of the championship. He also complained about the mooted 2024 schedule, which will further marginalise the first-class game. urging the governing body to better support the counties. You may know that there's a T20 World Cup which sits right in the middle of the English summer next year. With England resting their World Cup squad for the Ireland series, Surrey were without Gus Atkinson and Sam Curran for the run-in, and then had to do without Will Jacks and Jamie Smith, as both were included in a second-string squad for those matches. Jacks and Smith missed the penultimate fixture against Northamptonshire, with Surrey struggling in their absence, before joining up with the squad for the final match against Hampshire at the Aegeus Bowl on day two, after the Ireland series had ended in Bristol on the Tuesday, the day before. I have a bit of a moan here at the ECB, Stuart said, after Surrey have been confirmed as champions for the 21st time in their history. They still need to respect the county championship. We all like the championship, have played in it, worked with it. Take these Ireland games. England didn't pick their first team, which was understandable because of the World Cup. But also to say that there was one game during round 13 and then a game in between and then one game on the first day of this game, that to me is disrespectful to the county game. Could they have staged it better so that you only missed one game and had all three games during that penultimate game? And perhaps on that first rest day so that everyone is then available? With the 2024 T20 World Cup in June and July, domestic competitions will be squeezed further to the periphery next summer. The ECB has discussed billing the season's climax as Super September, with the latter stages of the T20 Blast, finals of the Metrobank One Day Cup, and the rate, mind you, I see Metrobank are still around after today's crash in the share price, but that's for another show, another conversation, and the Rachel Hayhoe Flint Trophy, along with the climax of the county championship season. The men's competitions will be shorn of personnel, given the international fixtures running concurrently, and with the third test against Sri Lanka, three T20 internationals, five ODIs against Australia, crammed into 18 days from September the 11th, brackets when kids are back at school. Stuart, who has seen the early plans, regards the situation as unworkable. He went on to say, even next year, what the probable schedule looks like for next year, the ECB are going to try and call it Super September, but it is anything but. When the quarterfinal of the T20 is on, there's a test match. When the finals of the T20 is on, England are playing Australia in T20s on the Friday and the Saturday. When the 50-over final is on, England are playing Australia. You have to work with the national team, and I always want England to be the best, but also trying to find a way of being more respectful to the county game, because that is where your players are made to go on to England. That is what we're up against. Stuart also called for a return to an 8-team top division to ensure greater integrity in the competition. The ECB shifted to a 10-team Division 1 in 2021, along with a leaner fixture list, with each team playing 14 matches. It meant, and this is what has upset a lot of people, it meant that not everyone in the top flight played each other twice, and that led to Surrey facing second place Essex just the once this season, after only playing closest challengers Hampshire at the Keir Oval in their successful 2022 campaign. Stuart also regarded the experimental use of the Kookaburra ball for two rounds in June and July as another impediment to a balanced league structure. If there is any symmetry to it, it is so much better. We only played Essex once this year, and the fact that they brought the Kookaburra ball in for two games, why did they do that? We had two home games, others had two away games, others had one at home and one away. So the integrity of the tournament, you still want to try and keep. We don't want to be talking about it, whether it's right or fair, that we've only played Essex once. It's not easy. I do have sympathy with the people who have to put the schedule together, but my role is director of cricket at Surrey, so I care about county cricket a lot. I just want to see that it's not diluted or put on the back burner and everything is just looked at internationally or franchise-wise. Now, that got a lot of noise on social media, and I think Annie Chave was actually one of those that applauded Alec for his stance, because he didn't really need to do that or say that, but he did, and he is standing up for the county cricket game. And as I highlighted last week, or maybe the week before, next year's schedule is looking horrendous. I didn't realise it was quite as bad as Alex Stewart has highlighted there. So what do you think? Let me know. Email radio@phoenixfm.com, title your mail 98 not out. Let me know what you think. Or, of course, you can use social media to send me a message about what you think. Is Alex Stewart right, or is he missing the point? I kind of think he is right. But let me know what you think as well. And also in the comments section on the podcast and on the YouTube channel. Elsewhere, there is news today from MCC. MCC has taken action against three members. I mean, on the day, there was a lot of people screaming and shouting at that Ashes test match, but apparently only three have been formally identified. But they've taken action against these three that were behaving disgracefully amid appalling scenes in the long room at Lord's on the fifth day of the Ashes test last summer. One member has been expelled, another has been suspended for 4.5 years, and the third suspended for 30 months. Drastic action, and apparently they did give these members the right of appeal, which has happened, and after that whole process has taken place, these are the findings. It's right and proper that heavy punishments are meted out, and that I would suggest that there are a lot more members that got away without being formally identified, because it was quite ugly to see the long room like that, and absolutely no need for it, and really... as guardians of the spirit of cricket, MCC members should know better. Now, staying with MCC, they've got a new president, Mark Nicholas. He's replaced Stephen Fry. And he's hit the ground running. He's come out and said, ODIs should be World Cup only. He thinks it's bilaterally difficult to justify them now. They're not filling the grounds in a lot of counties. There is power at the moment to T20 cricket, and that is almost supernatural. Now, this is... an interesting statement, just as the One Day Cup in its latest format, with all the pressures it was on, but it kind of resuscitated interest in the counties, at outgrounds, and giving opportunities to squad players. So if the ECB puts an end to domestic 50-over cricket, what's going to happen there? And I would suggest the counties would be absolutely up in arms about it. So I don't really think that that's a popular view, but... that's what Mark Nicholas thinks. Let's see if it has any legs to it. But again, something where cricket fans need to make their voices heard, because that really cannot come to pass. We need to, certainly the One Day Cup needs to keep going, and we need to preserve county cricket in this country. 5 to 7, galloping up towards the top of the hour. Stay tuned to Phoenix FM. John Chubb is here. He's going to give you the non-league show, brilliant hour of football, looking at some of the lesser lights of football in this country. I'll be back again next week with some more 910 on out. You can download, as I said, and head to the podcast, head to YouTube. Have a great week, and I will catch you again next week for more cricket, Wednesday, 6 till 7 on Phoenix FM. I'm playing you out with Armand van Helden, because this weekend is the shutdown of Ibiza. The big closing party on Saturday. I'm sure you're all heading out there. Take it easy.
anything I try to do. You haven't walked in my shoes. I'm gonna move on. It's my life, it's my life. It's my life, it's my life. It's my life, it's my life. It's my life, it's my life.